It's an honour to be asked to read before my husband preaches. Amen. The readings from Genesis 32, verse 6 to 12 and 22 to 32. When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, "We went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." In great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and herds and camels as well. He thought, if Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape. Then Jacob prayed, "O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who said to me, 'Go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper.' I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, 'I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted.' That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of Jacob. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' Jacob answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, 'It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.' The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon." May God bless his word. Amen.
Amen. I hope you can hear me. Can you hear me? Because, I can hear myself. All right. Greetings in the name of God our Father, of Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, and of the Holy Spirit who gently guides us, leads us, who teaches us to pray, and who intercedes and pray for us. So we thank the Lord for that. We've just heard about Jacob. Jacob wrestled with the same tenacity and ferocity that he, is that another word? That he did with his brother Esau, even from the womb. I don't want to divert from what I'm going to say, but a thought just popped in my head. If he was fighting his brother from the womb, then he must be a person in the womb. And so when you talk to people about abortion, maybe you might bring that up. And Jacob didn't just fight in the womb, but afterwards he got from his brother the birthright and the blessing that was to go to the firstborn. He finally got the better of his uncle Laban. So this man was determined to get what he wanted and what he believed he should get. But he got to the point where things were... Is this on? Things were so difficult for him. Thanks. That he needed God's help. It's hard to wrestle with somebody all half the night and don't see their face. So clearly that wasn't God in his glorious form, as he said to Moses, "You can't see my face and live. But you work out." Lots of people have different, sort of thoughts as to what was really happening there. But anyway, I just want to read this for you, something I've written down. There are currently 193 countries listed in the official name of the United Nations records. One is called Israel, which was added to the records on May the 11th, 1949. Now, for the past 1 year, 9 months, 3 weeks, and 6 days, the only thing we hear in our news is Israel. Israel, Israel, Israel. Israel is the big problem of the world. We hear it 24/7. Our leaders are all piling in as to what must be done about this Israel. They've, never mind all the other conflicts that's happening and all the other people starving. It's all about Israel. Even a hot war in Europe, even that took backstage. It's all about Israel. And various people are finding the answer they believe to this problem of Israel. But nobody seemed to be asking where the name came from. Where did the name Israel come from? They're not asking that. It's not because they're stupid. There's a reason why they're not asking that. Because they don't want the answer to the question, where did our name Israel come from? Because half of them don't believe that God exists. So how are they going to ask the name, where the name Israel come from? It's just there. It's easy. We just read it. God gave Jacob the name Israel on the morning of the day that he was to meet his brother Esau, who would plan to kill him. He was never going to manage to kill him, because God had made promises to Jacob that had to happen. Now, I'm going to take my time and say this. Even if somebody curses that name, before the curse bit, wherever that name is written, wherever that name is said, is a testament, is an acknowledgement that God exists. And that's why they won't ask the question, where has that name come from? If it was anything else, everybody will be all over it. Our leaders and activists, they won't ask the question. Everybody's flying around. You have to switch up the news if you don't want to hear it anymore. But the answer to the question, where has that name come from, is that one day, this man wrestled with God and would not stop until he got a blessing, and God blessed him. And the Lord said to Abraham, he will bless those who bless him and curse those who curse him. So everybody can talk and say all they want to and avoid asking the question and avoid the issue. But he has been given that name by God. So God exists. God led Israel and his family down into Egypt, his family, then 430 years to the day, the very day, he brought them out as a nation. And God said to them through Moses, this month that I bring you out of Egypt is to be the first month of your year. Now there's a Jewish calendar, and the whole world knows there's a Jewish calendar. And it starts on a particular month. And why don't people say, well, where did that come from? Well, that came from God. God is the one who said this calendar will begin in this month. So the shape of the Jewish calendar is testament to the existence of God. And in that same month, and on the day that he took them out of Egypt, they had a meal, and they put the blood of the lamb and the goat on the lintel of their door. Because what is generally called the Jewish Passover is actually God's Passover. Because it was God who did the passing over of Israel on the night that they left Egypt and killed the firstborn of every Egyptian and the firstborn of every one of the animal. It's God who did it. But nobody's saying anything. Nobody's saying, well, where did these people come from? Why have we got this problem? They're trying to solve all the, Israel. Israel is actually fighting on seven fronts. This is a country of 10 million people. And 8 million are Jews. So it's basically the 8 million that's doing fighting. And so, there's the problem. But the Lord said, they must put the blood, and he will pass over them. The Passover that happens every year is evidence of God. It was God said how it should go, what should be eaten, what should not be eaten, who should eat it, who should not eat it, and if they're unclean, what they need to do, all that. And all that it's in millions of Bibles in houses, in different languages. And everybody's going around, and none of our leaders are saying any of that. Yet they're trying to solve the problem of Israel. Well, good luck. It wasn't favoritism on God's part. God was doing something. And the people he called, they're going to feel his hand when they go wrong as well. About a month and a half after they left Egypt, a gathering of over 2 million people in Mount Sinai heard the voice of God speaking out 10 commandments. Over 2 million people heard the voice of God, even before it was written down, heard the voice of God speaking out 10 commandments. It was the first time those commandments, when we're reading through, we read it and they teach it in some schools and all that. The first time it was spoken by God. And every one of those people heard it, even the babies, even those who don't understand what was being said. And they would be reminded 40 years later what happened on that day. And after speaking the Ten Commandments, God wrote it down. Over 3,000 years ago, he wrote on tablets of stone with his finger. You know, we have tablets now, and you can sign your name on the stuff. But God got there before us. He did it before us. He wrote it down. And what is written in our Bibles and wherever, whatever combination and permutation of the Ten Commandments, it came from God. And the bits that's part of legal systems, it came from God. Glory. There are things that I've put down and I just go past it because ask the Lord give me something else to say. The fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments, it says this, what God said and later wrote. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord our God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your sons or daughters, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, or any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Yesterday was Saturday, so it was observed as the Sabbath by the Israelites. This is something more that the Lord said. This is and what I just read is in Exodus 20. Now in Exodus 31. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. This is this Sabbath that's been, you know, sort of observed by the Jews. It's not just for the Jews. It's also something for us to see and realize is happening. The observing of the Sabbath don't only speaks of the existence of God, but he says plainly, in 6 days he made the earth and everything in it, and he rested on the seventh day. The Sabbath is not the Jewish Sabbath, it's the Lord's Sabbath. So let's say it as it is, and then let people come at you about it, and then deal with it. It's time we start getting real. Amen. If you're unsure of what to say to people about God, just say the things that the Bible says. Yes. Just say it. But sometimes we ourselves don't see it. Sometimes we're so used to reading it, we just read it and think, well, if I'm going to read through the Bible, I might as well read that, especially the names and so on. But so some people have difficulty about dealing with when the world was created and all sorts. And this thing popped into my head. And I don't have the dates because I didn't write it down. But in the 19th century, the 1800s, there was what some will know, what they call a monkey trial, where there was somebody, there was a trial because it was being taught in the school about evolution. Anyway, the people who were saying that God created the earth, they won, but in actual fact, the other side won, because what happened was there was such a backlash about the fact that people are saying that it's God who created heaven and earth, that our theologians just bottled out. They stop. A lot of the theologians, they couldn't handle the fact that they couldn't answer the questions that people were asking, and what was coming at them with people who say, "Well, this can't be right." But for you and for me, you don't have to go back to Genesis to start. Start with what God, what you know, what is plain, what is clear. Only 3,000 years ago, just over 3,000 years ago, God said to this group of people, in 6 days, he made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested. Therefore, you need to observe that day. And they're observing it to this very day, yesterday. So even when they're disobedient, they're doing their part. I'm moving fast. Oh, by the way, I didn't look at what time I started. But I'll try to be obedient. 40 years after God led Israel out of Egypt, opened the Red Sea, they went over on dry land, and we know all the discussion about that. And he then parted the waters of the Jordan and led them over onto the West Bank. You hear a lot about the West Bank? The priests had gone into the middle of the water first with the Ark of the Covenant, and then the water just backed up upstream. And God said, take a stone representing each tribe and then put as a monument, a memorial, to show that he had crossed them. Well, we don't know where it is now. But God did another memorial to show that he had crossed them. In Joshua chapter 5 and verse 2, it said, at the time the Lord said, after they'd crossed, you notice, if you want to know what scripture reference, read from Genesis to the 5th chapter of Joshua. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites. Now this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the wilderness on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness during the journey from Egypt had not. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach from Egypt from you. So the place was called Gilgal to this day. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, and of course this is that same month, While they camped at Gilgal in the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped that day after they ate the food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan. Circumcision marked in the flesh of each and every male Jew is a testament. The absence of a foreskin is a testament, a living memorial to the existence of God. For it was God who required it as a sign of the covenant he made with Abraham. And now that they're going into the land that he promised Abraham, it was important that they got circumcised. Interesting thing about this circumcision, when we read that they spent 40 years not circumcised. And God was really serious about circumcision, because when God sent Moses to them in Egypt, on the way, God met Moses' son and would have killed him. You might interpret it that it was Moses he met and would have killed him. But anyway, forgive me if you have a different take on it. And would have killed him, but Moses' wife took a flint knife and circumcised her son and touched Moses with it. And God let her son go. So God's really serious about circumcision. Yet the 40 years they spent in the wilderness, they weren't circumcised. And God was in the middle of them. Because half of them was in a death march. They had refused to go into the land that God promised them because they were afraid. All the miracles God, all the things God did in Egypt was not enough to convince them that God was able to take them into the promised land and give it to them. So their children had to do it. And that's why they had to be circumcised. Now, during the Holocaust, if a Jewish man, if the Nazis wanted to know if this man was a Jew, all they had to do is strip him naked, look that he's minus a foreskin, and he's dead. So that's how serious it was. But that is a testament to what God had done. Not only did God exist, but God has given the land to the children of Israel. I decided to take my time so that it'll be clear. But I don't want to finish with just talking about Israel. We were singing, in fact, I jotted down a bit. They were singing a song. If I can find it. Oh, let's see. There was a song that... Never can find these things. We were singing a song and I jotted down... I might have to ask Franco to remind me of some of the songs that we've been singing. Anyway, leave it. Today, what's all God that got to do with us here? When somebody asks us, why do you have this hope in you? And when somebody say, well, how can you prove that God exists today? Apart from all the things that I've said, we don't just want to send them to check out all the evidence from the Jews. We who follow Jesus, we who are born again, we who are filled with the Spirit of God, We are proof that God exists. Jesus said in John chapter 17, I in them, he was praying to the Father, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity, that the world will know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. When somebody says, how do you know there's a God? Just say, look at me. You're looking at Jesus. I'm not just saying that, you know, for fun. Jesus said, the time will come when he will have all the nations together and he will separate them like a shepherd do the sheep and the goat. And he will say on those on the right hand side, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was in prison, you visited me. And they're going to say, well, when did we do that? And he will say, as much as you did it unto one of the least of those my brethren, you did it to me. So if they look at you cross-eyed, they're looking at Jesus cross-eyed. If they refuse to speak to you, they refuse to speak to Jesus. Jesus said it. So you are proof that there is a God. You are proof that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth, lived and died for our sins, was resurrected and ascended to heaven and is making intercession for us. So don't say you don't have any enough. We've got more than we need. We've got everything we need. Tell them who you are. You're a king. Shema kete sama. You're a priest. You're a child of the living God. We're not worms. Hallelujah. We were bought not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But then he said, you are the light of the world. He said, you need to shine. Let us shine, shine, shine. Shine so people will see. Have confidence in who you are. Glory. Glory to God. Jesus said, just before, when he rose from the dead, and he said to one of the women, don't touch me. I've not yet gone to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Hallelujah. When he said, pray to God the Father, he didn't say, pray to God my Father. He says, pray our Father. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God Almighty. I just want everybody who know Jesus. If you're afraid of being asked questions and you can't give the answer, come and see me. The people you're talking to, they have what you have before them. All we need is to work with God. Jesus said, remain until I endue you with power. You just need the Holy Spirit of God moving and living in you. That's why Paul said, don't be drunk with alcohol. And we can add, and don't be on high with drugs. If you're baptized with the Spirit, you'll be so high, you'll be flying. I'll tell you what happened. And as John is saying, it doesn't mean that everything is easy for us and we don't fail. But even in our failure, the fact that we go to God and He welcomes us and He moves on us and He uses us shows the power of Almighty God. I was having some problems with a contract about the internet and so on. And previously, I seem to be having problems with a lot of the services we receive in England today. To the point that I had about three, and I'd already got rid of one, three things going on. And on some I'd written, and you know, I didn't like the answer I got. On one, I was filling in stuff for Ombudsman, and the organization had offered me £800, but that and other things were just an insult. And then, but I thought, I'm not getting anything done that I should be doing for God, messing about with these things. So I spoke to my son, and he said, my second son, and I forgot how it came out, and he talked, I mentioned it to him, and he said, well, why don't you just leave it? And I said, but I'll feel that I'm a doormat. And he says, well, be a doormat. And I thought, what? And then I thought, actually, I better be a doormat. So I decided I just left all that, including the £800. Didn't bother continuing with it. But this thing about the internet, I got to use it. And it's just madness, and I'm no good online. So I decided I'll wait till the contract ends and then try it that way. I even got my first son. He spent a couple of hours, and he is an IT consultant. And he only got as far as I did. So he said, yes, you better go in and take your passport and everything. But before that happened, I got a bill that I didn't expect. And I just flipped. And I was just about to shout. And then I just started speaking in tongues. And I couldn't stop. And it went on. This was about 4 weeks ago. And it went on, and it went on until I gave in and was calm. And I was calm. And I thought, I can wait until the end of the contract. Well, the way it worked out, I had to wait anyway. But I thought, yeah, I can wait until the contract. And then the time came when I had to go into the shop. I'd gone in over a year before, and I didn't get anywhere. And I was about to go in. And it was a bit like something that happened years ago. My son, he bought a computer, he borrowed the money, and I stood guarantor, and then he was very good. Usually I would wait a long time before I used the computer, but he did it as soon as he arrived home, and there was a problem with it. And when we went back, they said they can't hand him the money back. Well, he was left traumatized. And everybody in the shop left. And it was just me, him, the staff, and those in headquarters on the phone. But we walked out there with £1,000 that he had paid. And a week later, there was a documentary on the TV where that company had gone into liquidation, and there was this warehouse with hundreds of computers as people at center back, and all those people had lost everything. So that's, I didn't want it to go that way, because he always jokes about it, but I think it's because he was just traumatized. I stood outside the shop And I prayed, Lord, this is either going to be chaos or Jesus would be seen in me. And I went in a queue, and when I heard the problems people in front of me had, I was sorry for them. Cut a long story short, Jesus was seen in me. And the person who was the staff member, when he rang to sort it out, and I heard what was going on the phone, I says, haven't you got a dedicated line to sort this out? He says, no, everybody thinks that we have something different, but we're just like you. You know, he literally was saying things. I didn't feel it was quite right because he was negotiating on my behalf. And everything was done. And when I got out, I rang Patricia and said, it's done. And she said, hallelujah. We are evidence. Because the Lord of the Lord God Almighty in me, I'm not adding to the chaos of the world. You don't add to the chaos of the world, but you've got to stand firm. You've got to be able to say to people that God is alive and He is alive in you. And you must even be prepared to say to them, when I look at you, I see evidence of God. Why? Because we are all created in the image of God. You were created in the image of God before you got saved and all that. So you can point them, say, go and look in the mirror. You were made to be like God. In fact, we were made to be gods. Now, just in case anybody thinks that's going too far, Jesus got into trouble for saying that. But the Lord said, I say you are gods. And in actual fact, Jesus repeated that to them when they wanted to stone him. But just to keep us in, you know, sort of our feet on the ground, he did say in the same verse, but you shall die like men. And that's what will happen if we don't know him. So I think it's time now to stop. I'm praying, and you are praying, that the Lord God Almighty will work miracles in our lives. Enjoy walking with God. Enjoy living with God. Enjoy being children of God. You might as well start it now if you're going to do it in heaven. The Lord bless you. In Jesus' name.